Hello and welcome to the Optimized Man podcast. I'm Derek Johansson. That was the intro. Let's go ahead and do this. Hey guys, I'm here with Rob Brended of Code of the Natural. And Rob has the really cool title of being a body language expert. And body language and nonverbal communication is something that has always fascinated me. Went to school at UCLA Communication Studies to study communication, and nonverbal communication specifically was a topic extremely, extremely interesting to me. But beyond that, Rob has trained with the best in the world in conditioning, holistic health, and movement science. And it's the study of movement that really brings Rob here today, because we're going to talk about fixing bad posture. Rob, thanks for being on the podcast.
No worries. Great to be here.
Now, I first found Rob a few years ago when I was doing some research on body language, and we're actually in a small marketing group together. And what I instantly liked about Rob's work on body language is the fact that it's not really the how to read body language stuff, which at times can be, you know, I don't know, cheesy, but it's more about correcting imbalances in the body through stretching and strength exercise. Rob, can you give us just a quick background, your background working with athletes and how that led you to what you do today?
Okay, I'll just a quick overview. I started working with professional athletes, mainly football, or soccer, as you say in the US. And I worked with Chelsea Football Club, who's a pretty big club. I was head of strength conditioning and injury prevention. I worked with them for 6 years, and I got very interested in looking at the what's called the tonic postural system, like the eyes, the way the eyes, the jaw, the skin, scars affect the way we hold ourselves in space. So affect our posture, twist us, or, you know, bend us, and create asymmetries and create injuries. So I had a lot of money at my disposal then. I could get the, you know, most advanced testing equipment. And so that really got me excited about, you know, what I was seeing, which other people weren't seeing. They were very much, if the the knee was in pain, they would look at the knee, whereas I would look at why the knee was in pain, and it, you know, could sometimes be at the other end of the body. I then left there because I felt a little bit tied in with the medical model, a little bit squeezed and not allowed to be as creative as I wanted to be. And I came over to Barcelona to work with a footballer from Barcelona for 3 years. And, you know, that was a great experience. And now I live here in Barcelona, and I'm a consultant more, you know, with one-on-one athletes or with, you know, normal people. And the way I got into the body language stuff is I have all my life been almost obsessed at one point at scanning people and looking for asymmetries and patterns in their physical body, like the shade of the color under their eyes, and then mapping it with what other symptoms they were showing in their body. And I would do this continuously with everyone for years. And so I got very good at seeing patterns in their, you know, the physical body. So I could link, sort of, I'll see someone and know what's wrong with them from this, you know, vast scanning procedure that I've been doing for so many years. But I was really bad at school, at maths and things. I wasn't good at school, but I'm quite, you know, I'm quite good at this. And I was, when I was in Barcelona, I had a great job, had a great, a beautiful apartment, and I was single, and you know, I was single, and I wasn't very good with women. So, you know, I went down the route of, you know, learning some pickup lines and stuff, trying to improve myself, you know, self-esteem and self-confidence. And one time in a bar, I was with three of my very good friends, and they were all extremely good with women, and didn't seem really to do anything. They just were themselves and they didn't try. And I was trying and not succeeding. And I looked at them, and so I thought, well, I'll look for, you know, physically, I'll scan them and see, you know, what they're all holding as you know, what do they have that's all in common. And so I scanned them, and at that same moment, this an Irish guy who I think everyone kind of knows this type of guy. He's very try hard, trying to be cool, but it comes across as creepy. So he was kind of trying to really bounce along and swagger in the middle of the bar. And one of my friends turned and said, "Oh my God, what a dick." And I looked at him and I thought, what is it about him that is different from these guys? Because that guy was trying, but failing miserably. And he hadn't said a word. And then it struck me in that moment that there was an actual pattern that I was seeing in the in these three guys who are very good with women. And I actually could cross-reference that with elite athletes, the best elite athletes, that they have something similar. And that the guy who was walking, who was try-hard and who was it was all wrong. There was things that were coming up in him that were the opposite. So that started within about a couple of months of going around Barcelona and just going, "Oh my God, you know, this guy's this, that's why that guy is, you know, attractive, and that's why, but he's, you know, it tied in with elite sportsmen as well. There are certain characteristics, and we can talk about them. And why, and this goes for women as well, why some women, very few, are sexy, and that when a woman is sexy, she doesn't have to have a, you know, very, she doesn't need to be beautiful, and she can turn men's heads. And the same goes for a man. When he's got these characteristics, which I've put into a system, I can train the man to have these very quickly, then a woman can't help but turn her head to look at him.
Man, all right, I'm resold on that, because I have your Code of the Natural book. But yeah, that's awesome.
I explained that okay.
Perfect. Well, let's talk about what we're here to talk about today, which is, I got a question from one of my podcast listeners, Devin, who wrote me saying, you know, a lot of my listeners and men in general spend long hours in front of the computer, and we suffer from poor posture and the forward head posture specifically. You know, cause sometimes I'm spending upwards of 12 to 14 hours a day on my computer, and not only is that bad for my eyes, I feel like, but it's also bad for my posture. So I'd like to talk a little bit about some methods for correcting, you know, poor posture, specifically related to spending time on the computer. But but before we jump into that, why is this important? Why is it important to correct bad posture when it comes to attraction and influence? And what is bad posture signaling to women on the biological level? What is it signaling to women, clients, customers? So beyond the health reasons of poor posture, why should men care about this? Because guys around you know, our age maybe aren't necessarily thinking about health. So one of the, well, maybe they are a little bit, but it, you know, the stuff that's going to hit men is the stuff related to influence, power, attraction right now versus the health stuff. So why is it kind of important to correct bad posture?
Okay, cool. Yeah. So if we take, I think it was Devin, was his name?
Yeah,
his,
Devin.
His question, he said specifically forward head posture. You can have bad posture, not have forward head posture, but it's a classic, you know, sort of that computer devolution, you know, from the, you know, the apes up to man devolving into the guy at the computer image that I have. The problem with having a forward head posture is a forward head posture is exactly the same posture as the startle reflex. If you were to shoot a gun in the room now, we would both drop down into, like, make ourselves smaller, shorten ourselves. And so when your head is forward and down, it's showing that you're frightened. You're not taking up space. You're trying to hide. And that, to a woman, is a, you know, I don't like to use the term beta male, but it is telling them that you're not comfortable with who you are. And, you know, and women are attracted by a guy who's comfortable in his own skin and is confident. You know, it's also unconsciously telling a woman that you're having to go into a mouth breathing state, which is a sign of being unhealthy vertically diseased, as I like to say.
What do you mean mouth? What do you mean mouth breathing state?
If you drop your head forward, it's your body's way of getting more. It's your body's way. It drops down. It opens up the airway so you can get more air in through the mouth. So if you block your nose very quickly, your head drops down and forward to enable you to get more oxygen through the throat. So it's kind of like it's giving off like an unconscious signal of something not being right in the body.
Everyone try that right now, actually, because I just did it. If you plug your nose, your head kind of instantly drops. But yeah, it's interesting.
It is interesting. It's so, you know, body language is a term that's really been abused. What is your body telling the world? Well, your body's doing the best it can. So if you block your nose, your head drops down. It's a wonderful machine. So your body, when it drops into a poor posture, is doing the best that it can for your body. And if you try and consciously change it, it comes across as creepy because you're actually trying to change what the body's trying to do for you. If that makes sense, you have to be as natural as you can. If you try and change your body when you're moving, to a woman, it's extremely unattractive. It sends a signal that something on that unconscious level is creepy. It's not right. You're doing something that's going against your body, and your body will compensate. So we'll talk about that in a minute. But coming back to the poor posture. You drop your head down, you're taking up more range in a flexion position. You're flexing down, which makes you shorter, makes you smaller, so that you're not taking up space, as I said before. But this also has an impact on the amount of rotation and extension you can get in your hips. So the more you squat down, the less kind of range you have in the hips. And what that tells a woman is, if you tighten your hips, the psoas, which is the big hip flexor muscle that attaches the legs to the spine, is called the fear muscle. And if that tightens, it's number one, it's telling the world that you're scared and frightened. A little bit like when a dog is beta male and it's scared, it'll tuck its tail under. Mm-hmm. It's similar to that. But also a shortened stride length is number one. It shows that you're uncomfortable sexually, that you're not comfortable in that area because there's a lot of tension that's built up there over time, shame, etc. And also on a hunter-protector level, short, tight hips show that you're not an athlete because the best athletes have mobility and stability and able to have a long stride length. Run fast, develop power through the hips to punch and to throw. So, you know, sitting down at a chair and tightening, switching off your hamstrings, the back of the legs, your butt goes to sleep, you got that head forward position, you're causing sort of a catastrophic amount of symptoms that can actually put women off you. And I was going to say, physically, but mentally you're fine. But I would say that the two are so closely linked that either you're changing yourself physically, which is actually having a negative effect on your mind, creating insecurity. One affects the other, as shown by research. Or that I know a lot of people who can sit down in a chair all day and don't have postural problems. So it's to do because they're extremely confident. So the mind is coming through the body, the body is a reflection of the mind and vice versa. So you do have to look at both areas.
So it's not necessarily the chair always that you're sitting in, or it's not necessarily always being seated.
I do think that isn't, I've experienced it because I got into this internet marketing and haven't sat down on a chair so much in my life. It's incredible. But what I would say is, sitting down in a chair is not good for you. So, but I do think that can, I'm kind of thinking sort of lottery here. I think if you shut down your hips and you create poor posture from the physical sitting, that will have an imprint into your beliefs. You can't be confident if you hold that position. It's, well, you know, it lessens your confidence because you're in a unconfident position. Your mind will respond to that physically. So,
That's really interesting. That's a really interesting cycle, almost.
Yeah, I think it's a problem.
Wow. Okay, yeah. So, well, let's get into someone that's sitting at their computer a lot, or just on their computer a lot, because, you know, I've seen standing desks coming back, coming into popularity. Yeah. I try to stand. I have like a dresser, and I put my computer on top of it, and I try and stand for maybe 70 or 80% of the day versus sitting. Cool. What can we do? What can we do to kind of negate the negative effects?
Okay, so talking about standing, sitting, I would say standing is excellent. If you're standing and your computer's lower, your screen is lower, well, you have to look at the keyboard, that's going to cause some issues, even though you're standing. So it's important to obviously not look at your keyboard or books, have them up on a music stand to your side, change the side over so you're not always looking to the left, because the body will adapt to that quite quickly. Have the computer screen at eye level. That, you know, that's sort of the basic setup principles. I'd say change, you know, from standing to sitting. You know, the chair isn't the devil, but if you spend, you know, 3 hours or more, 2 hours or more sitting down, it is going to shorten you in that position. If you're sitting down, have a chair that's well set up. So the hips are slightly higher than the knees, a comfortable chair. You can use a Swiss ball as well, which I think is cool. But if you're spending 8 hours on a Swiss ball, you're going to cause problems because you're being unstable for 8 hours and the body's getting fatigued.
I've noticed people that use Swiss balls even after like a couple minutes, their body still kind of hunches. They go into a resting state.
Yeah. So what I would say is change between sitting and standing. The most important thing, I use Pomodoro. I haven't been using it for very long, but I realized that if I don't take those breaks, then my mind gets caught in something and I won't take it. So I use 25 minutes on, 5 minute break. In the 5 minute break, I walk, I get up and I stand up. I'll do some Qigong. I'll do some of my, code exercises, multi-directional work to reprogram the body. I'll walk. I try one cool one to do is make sure that you look out of the window and look at the clouds, because you can create a contracture. I learned from a French guy. He says that the fascia and muscles around the eyes can just hold a position when it's focusing on the computers, and you need to sort of reset it to relax those muscles. I think this one is crucial for everyone listening. Every moment you can, go look out of the window. If you're in New York, that's a problem, because I think if you can't see into the distance, you're going to get this issue where you're constantly seeing up close things and never relaxing your gaze out into the distance.
That's interesting. I actually have found myself working with my blinds closed.
Okay.
For whatever reason, just maybe because I think, if I look out the window, I'm going to distract myself. But that, you saying that right there makes me second guess that.
Yeah, I really think I think there's a huge correlation between the connective tissue, like all of the soft tissue around the eyes. There's a lot of sensory information receptors there. It's like a super, it's a captor. It's what would that be? Like a sensor that is telling you where you are in space. It's extremely sensitive. And the Tibetans knew this thousands of years ago, and they realized that to bring in chi or prana or energy, or, you know, just to feel good, whichever, you know, some people don't like to talk about energy and chi. It's important to go out into nature or into a wide open space and look at the space, look at the open sky. And it, not only for the eyes, it releases them and relaxes them. The organ is, of course, having to look at something in the distance, which, you know, stops it from becoming, you know, not used in a long vision. But it's also taking in that space is something on a mental level and spiritual, if you like.
Yeah.
You know, just to realize how big the world is. Is extremely important for the body and the mind.
You know, what's interesting is in a place like New York or any big city, the higher up you go in a building, the better view you have, obviously. Mm-hmm. And the higher up you go in a building, the more status and the more social status, the more wealth
exactly.
is
yeah.
in the higher areas of the building. So that's kind
yeah.
of a interesting.
Yeah. It is, and you know the classic New York 360 window view of your office is like the pinnacle, isn't it? But health wise, you know, I studied with a Tibetan Lama, their medical system, and they're very big into if you want to bring energy into your body, if you want to feel more vital, is okay. Go into spaces, open spaces, look up at the sky. You know, movement, walking, etc., and also looking at beautiful things. It brings in energy into the body. You know, if you look at a beautiful painting or a photograph, you feel good, don't you? So they actually give that as medical sort of right prescription. They have to smile at people and look at beautiful objects. And it, I tell you, it's just powerful stuff.
Yeah. So basically, you use the Pomodoro technique, which is 25
yeah.
minutes on, 5 minutes break.
Yeah, do four of those, then have a 30-minute try. I live by the beach. Uh-huh. I go to the beach in the morning. Maybe my girlfriend can hear me and know that I got up late today, and she's like, oh, he's lying. but I try to go to the beach and get you know, get into the open space and walk, move my body, pump the, you know, get the blood pumping around my body, and you know, do whole body movements, which, you know, if you use your body, you don't lose it.
So if with Pomodoro, can you do 50 minutes on and 10 minutes off? Is that also something that?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, Edwin Pagans is. I think his was 45 minutes or 50
okay.
minutes.
Just I'm trying to think for someone that maybe has an office job or something where they maybe can't get up every 25 minutes to go.
Okay. Yeah, I would say here's a great one. You have, say, 50 minutes, a 10-minute break or 5-minute break. You stand up, you have water, you drink water because it's, you know, you got to keep drinking water to keep your sugar levels constant. And, you know, be cleaning the body and have a tennis ball by the desk and take your shoes off and just stand up. I've got to explain this one right in case someone literally does what I tell them to and tries to balance on a tennis ball. Just put a tennis ball or a dog ball on the floor. 1 foot's down and you put the other foot on top of it and you rub the foot and, you know, rub and look for sore points and do that for a minute. And what that does is it frees up the whole, you have like a thing called a back line, the fascial back line that goes from the bottom of your feet all the way up into your hamstrings, your butt, all the way up into your back, into your neck, and over the front of your head. And you can test beforehand, do a toe touch test, like bend over, touch your toes, then rub your foot 1 minute on each side, and then touch your toes again, and you'll gain, you know, 3-4 inches of, you know, I was about to say length, and the viewers might understand differently there. So you get a lot of length further down to the floor, and that what that does is it frees up your hamstrings, your calves, and the hamstrings have they're like a twinned relationship with the neck muscles. So you're freeing up your neck muscles, you know, that shorten down into that forward head posture. Just by rubbing your feet, you can release that tension.
It feels amazing. I've done that before.
I've got my tennis ball right over there. When I get up and walk over, I just 30 seconds on each foot.
Yeah, I used to, when I was traveling before, one of my friends used to make fun of me that I traveled with a couple tennis balls. Yeah, just because it feels incredible, and you're right, if you do that on both sides and then you stretch down, it's incredible how much further you can go down. It's unbelievable, actually.
Yeah, I did that with the Chelsea medical team, and they were all around me, and I was showing them some fascia. I was kind of doing a talk on fascia and how it affects injuries, and they were so cynical. I got them all to do it, and then the doctor said, "Yeah, but that's just psychological." And I was like, "Yeah, but you didn't believe that it would work," and it did. You know,
and then face.
Many times that happened. But the great thing about it is you really need to, everyone needs to be looking after their feet. So barefoot as much as possible, Vibram five fingers, probably people can't wear them to the office, but get barefoot, take your shoes off as long as they're not too stinky in the office, try and get barefoot, because the more your feet look like your hands, like if you, I went to the Philippines, I stayed in a tiny little island, and there was a guy that never worn shoes all his life. And I looked at his feet and they were like hands. The toes were so spread out that it was like hands. So I said, "Can I work on your feet?" Because I've worked on so many people's feet. I wanted to see what they felt like. And I've never felt anything like it. There was not one single bit of tension in his foot. There was no pain whatsoever. And the guy had perfect health. This is where reflexology comes from. Look after your feet. And that will have a massive impact on your posture, the way you breathe, the way your stomach looks, your skin, how tall you are. You know, it's all interrelated. Yeah,
that's interesting. My brother is friends with a really good baseball player, or he's retired now.
Okay.
And he would talk about, some of his keys to health, a guy that's been working out worked out until he was in his 40s. So essentially 25 years of heavy weights and everything. He said, be barefoot as much as humanly possible. And
nice.
Yeah, I thought that was really interesting. So,
but you don't have to call yourself Barefoot Bob or Barefoot Derek or whatever, because there's quite a thing that comes with it, with this barefoot thing. But I just think it makes sense that shoes and concrete are really cool. There's another thing. I don't know if I've written an article about this, but in yoga, a lot of the poses, if you go to a yoga class or Bikram, a lot of the very good yogi people have real problems with their feet. Because none of the yoga poses are actually, they were designed for 2,000 years ago when there wasn't concrete and shoes. So I saw a pattern in my Bikram class that everyone had foot problems and they couldn't get into their poses. But it wasn't because necessarily the yoga wasn't good. It was, it almost needs a revamp for the 2012 yoga, with more rotational and on uneven flooring so that the foot can be mobilized as you walk.
So what about yoga? Is that something good that people might get into?
Yeah, I think yoga is brilliant. And yoga is brilliant if you're having difficulty with focus and, getting in touch with yourself. It's really important, just going there, stretching, breathing, and not to look at the people next to you and just spend an hour or an hour and a half or however long it is, just focusing on inside your body, because our lifestyles now are so future, past, computers, email, that, slowing down for that yoga class has an effect on your nervous system. It calms you down. The more relaxed you are, the more women find you attractive. So the more relaxed your body is, the more relaxed the connective tissue is, one of the key factors for attraction for women with men. And, you know, a sexy man, you know, 100% of the time that I've looked at a man that a woman was saying was sexy had that very low tension in the body.
Yeah, it's really hard to concentrate on yourself with the invention of yoga pants for women, though.
I did a class years ago where I was doing, there was a nice lady next to me, and I was kind of tilting my head a little bit, and the yoga teacher said, okay, everyone focus on their umbilical cord, belly buttons. And then she said, Rob, that's your belly button. Yoga, I mean, it's just a one-shop stop where you can stretch your hips, hamstrings, you know, sort of like a cat. I've got two cats. Whenever they stand up, they stretch. You know, that's mm-hmm. And cats are extremely lithe and athletic. So whenever you stand up, once you've done your 50-minute Pomodoro or whatever, you go into your stretches. It'll look strange at first, but, you know, it shows a confident male, a man who can not copy everyone else in the office.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, turning yourself into that weird guy that doesn't wear shoes as much as possible and gets up and actually stretches and has a tennis ball. I mean, it's actually going to be intriguing to people. Versus if you just kind of follow what everyone else is doing and everyone else is in pain and constantly, you know, bitching about their problems. And also and everyone else is fat too. So, you know, yeah, that's funny. I was just going to say about the yoga classes real quick. My first yoga class ever experience was, everyone in the class was, I think, about 70 or older. So I didn't have the yoga pants problem in that class, but so the general outline here is every 50 minutes, if you can get up for 5 to 10 minutes, look out the window if you can. Get a tennis ball and rub it on the bottom of your foot. And we can I can post some pictures of that if you have them, Rob, on the site.
Yeah, sure.
And then also any other quick stretching exercises that we can tell people about, or is it kind of you need to see them to be able to do them?
No, another one you can do is if you're listening to this now, you can go up to a door frame or a wall and put your arm out, sort of your elbow to your palm pressed up against the door frame, so it's like a 90 degree angle at your shoulder. And just so if you put your right hand flat against the side of the door and you're leaning through the doorway with your elbow touching the door frame, does that make sense?
Yeah.
And I want you to, if your right arm is against the wall, then step forward with your right foot. So your right foot's in forward. That's more like walking. And what you'll feel is a gentle stretch in your chest. Now, most people would hold that stretch and nothing would really happen. But what you have to do is you have to give alternatives to your body to realize the body can breathe more after doing it many different ways, but the body likes this way of stretching is three-dimensional. So you lean into it, and what you then do is you just nod your head forward and take your head back for 10 repetitions, just nice and easy breathing, and you'll feel a slight increase in stretch in the chest muscle, okay? You do that for 10 reps. Then you take your head from side to side, so ear going towards the shoulder, for 10 to 20 repetitions, and then you rotate your head. So you look over one shoulder and look over the other all the time while keeping that gentle stretch on your chest, and then take your arm down and you'll feel that one shoulder is like a foot further back than the other one, and it will hold itself. And the reason why it does this is the body's has been shown a successful way of doing it very gently with a movement being driven by another part of the body. And afterwards, because you can breathe better, the body scans itself and says, wow, I can get more oxygen in the body using this method. That means it's better for me. That means I'll hold it longer. you know? Mm-hmm. And you do both sides, because otherwise you'll be walking around in circles. And you don't want to have one shoulder back and one forward. Do both sides. And the reason why that's so good is you've mobilized your neck. Your shoulders are now held back. You've got immediate good posture and height increase. And there's no having to think about it, because the worst thing you can try and do is pull your shoulders back. The amount of yoga instructors who have been told to hold their shoulders back constantly so long that they're in chronic tightness in the back there and have back pain because of it. But also, you've all seen the guy walking down the beach. He walks past the women. He pulls his shoulders back and stomach in. Well, that's creepy to women. They know that something's not, it's not natural what the person is doing, and they can spot it out of the corner of their eye. So In doing this, you naturally give off a confident vibe. Your posture's improved and your breathing's improved and everyone's happy.
So it's better to just be natural and try and fix things through stretching versus kind of faking it till you make it with the body language stuff.
100%. If you pull your shoulders back, you have to contract muscles to do that, which increases tension. And the body will compensate above and below, because it's far more intelligent than we could ever comprehend. And, you know, that's at the end of the day, the moment you think about something else, you forget about it and go back to what you were doing. So, reprogram the body by doing some very, you know, my ebook has got 19 videos showing all of these exercises, and you do them. And some people, you know, I've had people email me saying the same day, "Oh my God, women are staring at my groin. Women are staring staring at me." And, you know, a lot of people just email me and say, you know, "It's got rid of my back pain. It's got, you know, just, it's very simple, you know, so it's not, it just needs to be done 5 minutes every day." And that's very quickly, you know, the same day you'll see a result.
So 5 minutes every hour, or are you just saying 5 minutes with the exercises within Code of the Natural?
What I would say is, you try out all the exercises and you'll get some favorite ones, and then you kind of condense it down until, you know, some people just do the tennis ball, or some people do the hamstring and the eye exercise, or the chest exercise, and you kind of condense it down into, I could go through pretty much a whole body stretch in 4 minutes once you get good with the exercises. So how many times a day? Well, you know, if you're every 5 minutes you're standing up and stretching, you know, you're not going to be able to go to the toilet or have a life or talk to anyone. So what I would say is do the stretches. You'll feel immediately a difference. I was working with a guy who's been to the World Championships 5 times this morning, an Aikido player, and I worked with him, and he was falling over walking so fast because I had changed his biomechanics. Like he was lighter, so he was walking quicker. So you'll feel lighter and you'll feel looser and taller, and then you'll become aware that you're going back into, you know, maybe 3 hours later that you're starting to feel, or maybe never. But if you start feeling yourself dropping down into your posture again, you're feeling tight or restricted, jump up and do the exercises. So, you know, twice a day, I mean, is fantastic. Once a day is brilliant.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, that's a good transition into talking about Code of the Natural just for a second, because I do want to recommend Code of the Natural. I purchased it a while back and it's excellent. I mean, there's a ton of videos in there and stretches and some good kind of evolutionary psychology, I guess, related to all this stuff. And yes, it's great. And it's not necessarily all about picking up women. I mean, if you're at work and you're starting to notice that your posture is getting bad, then like Rob said, you know, you can start spiraling into that negative thought cycle just based on your body language or your body kind of tightening up. So I can highly recommend Code of the Natural. Anything else you want to say about it?
Yeah, I would, like you said, it's, you know, when I, it you'll get more people attracted to you, you know, whether it be, you know, because you're more charismatic, or for women, you're triggering attraction in their unconscious brain, and it happens. But I would say I've had quite a few people say they got jobs from. I've had quite a high percentage of clients who wanted to work, you know, through Skype one-on-one with me, which is one of the services that I give, which is what I love, working one-on-one with people. And they were actually doing it for job interviews. In fact, I had another guy recently come to think of it, and he got his job as a salesman because he wanted to have a confident, he wanted his body to be confident and give off a confident body language. So, you know, I think I've really made it, you know, cut it naturally is for being more attractive, but I could take it into the business market and self-confidence market as well.
Attractive to men or women, you know. So many people focus on the words that they're saying, and that's great. You know, verbal communication is something to work on, definitely. But if it's not congruent with your look, if you have confident language, confident speaking ability, but you're not confident within your body, I mean, people kind of instantly recognize that within the first few seconds if your body language, or, you know, or if you're tight, or if that sucks, then no matter what you say, no one, you know, it's kind of one of those subconscious things. So
yeah, very true. And it's a process, you know, you're working on your mind. Everyone's working on their journey, their body and their mind. But the body affects the mind affects the body. It's just the body takes a lot longer to change. You can change your belief in a second, but the body, unless you're doing it correctly, can hold its pattern. Yeah. So that's crucial to understand.
Great. All right, Rob, thank you so much for being here. And this was great. I had a great time. Took a lot of notes.
Me too. Thanks a lot.